Hey, y'all, Snowman here. Do you know about Full Armor Worldwide? You don't? Well, let me tell you about them. Full Armor Worldwide constantly strives to bring the right and like-minded people together to challenge traditional and established thinking and be able to drive transformation and make innovation. The company works with clients to develop the capabilities that allow organizations to acquire a sustainable advantage. Together, let us drive innovation for a brighter and better tomorrow. Readiness for innovation or transformation is essential in the highly unstable business environment. Ain't that the truth? Even a firm at the top of its industry must be able to adapt and make a change if it hopes to remain at the top. Full Armor Worldwide seeks and works to come up with innovation to guarantee a better tomorrow. Give us a call or a visit today. Visit FullArmorWorldwide.com. That's Full Armor, A-R-M-O-R, Worldwide.com. Innovative for a better tomorrow and serving our clients for 30 years. Tell them Snowman sent you.
This is Snowman in the Morning Podcast.
I like my meatballs spicy!
I'm back. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Snowman in the Morning. This time we are powered by Panera Bread of Michigan City. We come to you live from Panera Bread in Michigan City, Indiana. Got Cravante Hurd coming on the line in just a couple of minutes to talk all things NBA, including the awards and a few other free agent possibilities. And y'all know how I am about these crazy possibilities. But speaking of the NBA, I'll begin with this. Actually, you know what I'll begin with? I will begin with a scoreboard update. With everything that happened last night in the NBA, we'll save that for the second segment, as I'll have Cravante Hurd on. And you know it's always a delightful conversation when I have him on. Ozzy Albies called his walk-off shot by saying, "It's time to go long now." Well, he did just that. And the Atlanta Braves walked off in 11 over Cincinnati. That final was 5-4. Same score for Oakland and Detroit. Royals shut out the Angels 2-0. The Yankees are getting it back together. They beat Philadelphia 4-2. Seattle over Baltimore 5-3. It was Miami 4 better than Arizona 9-5. Pittsburgh over the Mets 6-4. Poor New York Mets. Tampa Bay over Washington 11-0. Texas over San Diego 7-4. Toronto beats Houston 6-3 in the House of the Champs. St. Louis shuts out Cleveland 4-0. And the Dodgers over the Cubs by final of 2-1. Okay, let's talk a little basketball, shall we? And this is before I bring Cravante Hurd on. So, LiAngelo Ball was informed by the Lakers that he will not be a part of their summer league team. Good. Leave him off of there. His daddy, LeVar Ball, talked the Lakers into drafting Lonzo. Yeah, I said it. He talked the Lakers into drafting Lonzo, even though they already had Kyle Kuzma, when they could have selected, Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, quite a few others. But no, they had to go with Lonzo. Fine, you got the Ball mystique on your team. Or should I say the Ball mistake on your team. Don't draft LiAngelo. LiAngelo is too slow. He doesn't play basketball very well. And he doesn't deserve a shot at a summer league team or a shot to make the roster. His basketball acumen is very poor. His acumen off the court is even more poor. The incident in China should tell you that. And he should not get a chance at all. At all. Period. To show what he could do on the court. I hope the Lakers don't select him. They didn't select him in the draft. Thank God for that. They didn't give him a chance. Thank God for that. I hope no NBA team gives LiAngelo Ball a chance. Until LiAngelo decides to improve his basketball skills, until he decides to improve his basketball acumen, and until he decides to tell his dad, "Shut up and let me get my own career," no one should draft him. Period. And I hope no one does. That's Snowman's take. What's yours? Cravante Hurd after this. What's up, everybody? Snowman here.
If there's one thing you know about me or know of me, I love food. Period. Well, I got a place for you. If you love food, you'll try out Ruthie's, the new comfort food caterer and food cart around Madison, Wisconsin, and surrounding areas. They offer a new and exciting choice to eating on the run, bringing homemade food to you, a street corner, or a venue near you, breakfast, dinner, and third shift. Give them a call today at 708-935-5763. That's 708-935-5763. And you know something? Tell them Snowman sent you.
Full Armor Worldwide is open to serve you. Our goal is to provide professional service that'll meet clients' high expectations. Every client wants to achieve the services that'll meet their expectations and will satisfy them. People become more frustrated when their expectations and needs are not totally met. Therefore, they'll demand for a higher service or a quality service. A good and quality service will make you distinctive and stand out among your competitors. That's why Full Armor Worldwide stands out compared to other competitors. If there is a service that you need, such as web design, logistics, construction, property management, or more, Full Armor Worldwide is where you need to go. Give us a call today to set up your consultation at 888-386-2040 or drop an email at info@fullarmorworldwide.com. Full Armor Worldwide, innovative for a better tomorrow. Hey fans, spring is here and Cleaver Supplements invites you to spring into action to get in the best shape of your life. Our supplements and products will help you do just that. You had a good winter season, and now it's time to show off and keep that great shape, great attitude, and work on getting even better for your life. Our Fat Burner, Super Swole Serum, and other products will keep you on track to a healthier and happier you. Do it for your family, do it for your friends, but most of all, do it for you. For more information, visit us online at cleaversupplements.com. Cleaver Supplements, pure supplements for when genetics are just not enough.
Unforgettables. Nice. This show is sponsored by Unforgettables. Unforgettables creates detailed hand-painted baseballs for every baseball fan. Check them out at unforgettables.com.
This is Snowman in the Morning, where true sports talk lives.
Next!
What?
Are you kidding me?
You know what means.
I'm the juggernaut, bitch!
The Tuesday morning edition of Snowman in the Morning continues. This morning we are powered by Panera Bread, and we come to you live from Michigan City, Indiana. Don't forget, the second half of today's show, you will hear a classic conversation I had with my buddy Josh Lopez last season. We touched on a lot of stuff, including the state of the NBA, which I'm going to touch on with this man right now. Cravante Hurd from the Flex Zone joins me. What's up, man?
Hey, what's good, man? Thanks for having me on.
Why did James Harden win the MVP last night?
Listen, man. It's okay. Listen. James Harden won MVP because from start to finish, he was the most consistent player in the NBA. Everybody else either came on late or lingered just a little bit. And then rose up, kind of like LeBron James, and definitely Anthony Davis. But Anthony Davis came on really, really strong. And he didn't really come on until after Boogie Cousins. Boogie Cousins got hurt. And of course, LeBron, with his whole dismantle of the Cleveland Cavaliers midway through the season, that kind of threw him out of it because the team was so bad. So it's like, it was really only between James Harden, LeBron, and AD.
You know what? You're not gonna like my next sentence.
Okay, here we go. I don't like a lot of stuff you say, but you wind up
laughing at it, and half of it winds up being true. Kevin Durant being one of them. I think Anthony Davis should have been MVP. I know he came on extremely late, especially after Boogie Cousins went down with his injury. But if you wanted to find anyone that carried his team the furthest shy of a championship, aside of James Harden, I truly feel that was Anthony Davis.
That is absolutely fair. Listen, all these candidates were candidates for a reason.
True. Very true.
So I wouldn't have been mad if any of the three won, because they're all well deserved.
Absolutely.
But the thing that goes against Anthony Davis he came on late. He came on really, really, he came on strong. He definitely threw his, he threw his hat in the ring. Because at the beginning of the season, I'm talking about halfway through the season, his hat wasn't really in the ring. But he tossed that thing in there after the All-Star break.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Rookie of the Year, Ben Simmons from Philadelphia, overshadowing Donovan Mitchell and Jason Tatum. And you know what? I don't like this. I know Ben Simmons had the most flash, but to me, my Rookie of the Year, as strange as this sounds, was Jason Tatum.
Okay. That's absolutely fair. But once again, we got three candidates who are all well-deserving of it.
Right. Absolutely.
I don't think it's fair. They need to do something about this rule because there's something to be said about somebody, even though he didn't play an actual, even though he didn't play games, he was in that atmosphere. He practiced.
Exactly.
He did things that a rookie would do. You know what I'm saying? Like, he basically registered it his first NBA season. So they need to do something about that rule, or at least give a co MVP or something.
Right.
Because that's how much fair to Donovan Mitchell.
Absolutely.
Who I think still won Rookie of the Year. Donovan Mitchell, that boy is back. The boy can play some ball.
Those true.
Jason Tatum up in Boston is a baller that boy can shoot the lights out.
Man.
The boy can shoot the lights out, and you've seen him grow. Even in the playoffs,
yes.
We've seen a lot
yes.
of growth from him, especially after Kyrie went down. And he has an outstanding coach, so coaching him as well.
Mm-hmm.
But Donovan Mitchell, when he did with those Utah Jazz, I mean, come on. Who had Utah going as far as they did?
I did.
Hey,
when
listen,
Utah drew,
when Utah drew,
well, you meant that question for the casual fan. I understand that, but
sure.
A, this is me you're talking to, and B, when Utah drew OKC, I knew Utah would eliminate OKC.
Don't get me started. Because I tell you, I never believed that hype. I did not drink that OKC Kool-Aid, I tell you.
You and I had a conversation before the season, and you and I said the exact same thing about Oklahoma City. Don't believe
not
the hype.
I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid, especially with Melo on the team, no. Absolutely not.
And he's going to be on the team again. You know the hype's going to be off the charts again.
I don't know why.
Me neither.
Because we saw the product.
Yeah. We saw the end result at the tail end of the season, even before they got to the playoffs. And after OKC won game one, the hype was even more off the charts. And I was saying the whole time, give Utah a game or two in this series, and they'll swipe it. They won the next three, eventually clinched in game six. But there are so many holes in Oklahoma City right now, it's not even funny. And you wonder why James Harden, Serge Ibaka, Scott Brooks, and Kevin Durant all left.
Yeah, it's a problem. There's something going on up top.
But here's the point. Why...
Yep.
Does OKC get all that hype, especially with one Russell Westbrook? And you know how I feel about Westbrook.
Right. It's just people like to see big names team up, and they think that's enough. And, you know, it's not enough, obviously.
Right.
Because Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony are the same player.
Yep.
And they end up basketball to go around.
And Carmelo opted back in, and people want to say it's not about the money. You want to try that again? It's definitely about the money.
Stop it.
Thank you.
We knew it was all about the money with Carmelo Anthony when he signed that dumb contract with New York.
Come
on now.
And it's all about the money again as he opted in to stay in OKC. And he's not gonna win again.
It's not. Listen, I'm not mad. I'm not mad at the brother. But you're not right. Gonna sit here and tell me that because you know that that's a lot of money to opt into. Trust me, that's the listen.
Truth.
That's a lot of money.
Truth.
But you're not gonna tell me that he's about winning rings.
He's not.
He's about winning championships. It's about the money, and you can't. Don't sugarcoat this. Like I can see it's about the money with him.
I could see that too. And it's so obvious. This is what the casual basketball fan doesn't understand. It's so obvious it's about the money, not just with him, but with others as well.
Oh, yeah, he's not the only one. He's definitely not the only one.
Gravante Hurd joining me here on Snowman in the Morning. We're powered by Panera Bread of Michigan City. I had my breakfast. Did you get yours? Visit them online at Panera.com. Find a shop within your area. Talking all things post-NBA season, including the postseason awards. We got to the Rookie of the Year and the Coach of the Year. And the what?
And we struggled getting through MVP.
Besides Anthony Davis, who was your vote? Because you ain't going to be surprised with my second answer.
For
most valuable MVP, most valuable player.
I think it's hard to shy away
right.
from. It's hard to shy away from LeBron and them. It is really.
I'll give you that.
It's hard to shy away from LeBron for a second, and I'm sure he got second in voting.
You know, you're going to think I'm crazy. A lot of people are going to think I'm crazy, but I want you to think in terms of impact. Even though he missed the last part of the season with an injury, Stephen Curry should have been in the conversation also, especially when he came back from his injury the first time and only dropped 10 three-pointers.
Yeah. I mean, I see that, but, you know, you gotta be on the court. You got to be on the court.
Right.
That's the only thing. You got to be on the court.
You
and
have to.
Is not fair.
It's not fair. It's not fair to Stephen, but he did miss the last part of the season, which killed his MVP chances, just like it did Kevin Durant last year when he missed 19 games with an injury as well. An injury should be a part of the MVP conversation, but you can't shy away from what LeBron did this year, playing all 82 games and leading his team back to the finals. So we'll touch on that in just a moment. The Coach of the Year was Dwayne Casey. We all knew that was coming, even though he got fired.
That's crazy. And that's why Toronto don't deserve nice things. That's why. How dare you? Y'all look extra goofy. When they win this award, y'all look extra goofy.
And Toronto's going to look extra stupid next year without Dwayne Casey leading them.
I hope Detroit does so well. I'll root for Detroit.
I'll root for the Detroit Pistons also because it was unfair. It was so unfair what happened to Dwayne Casey after he led Toronto to the best record in the East, a number one seed, and yet the administration of the Raptors is so gun-shy that they would fire Dwayne Casey and not give him another shot after he led his team to the best record in the East, which tells you the fear they have of LeBron James as a team on the court, but in the front office also.
What, didn't he lead them to their best record in the franchise history?
Yes. Yes, he did.
That's
kind of disgusting for that to happen.
That's nasty. Like, why? Oh, like, that makes zero sense. I was really upset with that, man. I don't know if you can tell, but I was highly upset with that.
You and I had a conversation about that off the air. You think you were the only one that's upset? I was upset also. I felt bad for Dwayne Casey.
That's the infinity of not there.
Right.
His team folded against LeBron.
Again.
Again. You got LeBron coming to town. You're not going to be up for that game? You're not going to play? Come on now.
And speaking of folding under pressure, which brings me to the subject of the Cleveland Cavaliers in the finals.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you knew I was going to go there. We didn't get a chance to during the finals. But I must pose this question. Didn't it seem to you that after the Cavaliers had a chance to steal game one, and they didn't, that they just folded like a tent under the immense pressure of playing the defending champions?
I wouldn't necessarily say the immense pressure, because obviously there's pressure, but I think it was just the fact that we were so close and we literally gave it our all, and I don't think we'll be able to repeat this performance.
True.
And this was our best performance. And obviously, it was demoralizing. Like, we saw it, we laughed.
Right.
But seriously, when we look back on it, there's a reason why LeBron had a cast on.
True.
He was hurt. He was mad.
But it wasn't his hand that was hurt. It was his pride.
Right, exactly. I couldn't have said it better myself. And that's hard to come back from. Like, you can't come back from that. That's really hard. When you come so close, that's why when folks lose in the championship, it's hard to get back because you worked so hard to get there.
But I go back to this. Did you see Karl Malone show up at the post-press conference after Michael Jordan drilled the winning shot in 98 with a cast on his hand? No. No, you didn't see that. Did you see Sir Charles show up with a cast after John Paxson drilled the game-winning shot in 93? No, you don't see that.
And that's gonna be a knock against LeBron, because that move, it looked weak. It looked really extremely weak that you're telling me you had this injury since after game one, and you want to put your cast on after losing a game four in the sweep. That's a weak move.
It is a weak move, and it's gonna be talked about all summer, because if you had that injury after game one and you were playing, as he said, basically with a broken hand, why are you playing games 2, 3, and 4?
Because I understood why he, played. Because if he didn't play, you think it's for what?
I'll give you that point.
My thing is, I just don't want to see that injury after you lose.
Right.
That's my whole thing. If you hurt, you hurt. Like, you play with a broken hand is making things worse. So I'm not saying you should go out there and be like, oh, I broke my hand, whatever. Because he may not even actually broke it after game one.
Right.
We don't know. They keep a lot of things in house. Some things flip, but I feel like it was a weak move. I don't want to see that after you get swept.
But okay. Here's this. Do you know how many injuries, minor injuries, Michael Jordan played with in 6 finals? And he overcame it all? And won them all? See, this is what makes me think we're playing in a very, very soft era. Very soft. Because MJ, Magic, Bird, anybody in the golden era, if they play with any kind of minor injuries, you didn't know about it. Tom Heinsohn had a perfect line during game 6 of the 85 finals when he acknowledged that Bird had so many minor injuries going into game 6 in Boston. But he said, the first thing that Bird will come out and say, he wouldn't say anything about the injuries, he would say, I played terrible. Why couldn't LeBron's teammates admit to the fact that they didn't step up for him, especially after they nearly swiped game one on the road?
Shame. And you're significantly older than me, so you watched the NBA even from what I've seen. But I started watching basketball in the midst of the Jordan era.
Right.
You saw the transition from the 80s, 90s, 2000s.
Right.
But I'll tell you, from my perspective, it has been a bad thing. Like, I don't see none of the stuff I see now. I didn't see a glimpse of it, you know, 20 years ago. I didn't see none of that, even in the 2000s. Like, the most wild thing I used to see was Allen Iverson.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the wildest stuff I saw, like, with the polos and the baggy clothes.
Right.
And, you know, that's the wildest stuff I've seen. But I never really saw any much in-game stuff outside of a couple of fights here and there.
Yes.
But that was regular.
Well, I was really, really skeptical of Allen Iverson, even though in the closet I loved watching him play. I did. I enjoyed and adored Allen Iverson. You know what finally, and this is weird. A lot of people told me this is weird, but then they also get where I'm coming from, considering the basketball I've watched over the past 30 years. What really gave my heart to Allen Iverson was the way he paid tribute to Michael Jordan in his Hall of Fame speech.
Okay.
Because think about it. I thought, think about where I'm coming from with this. I didn't know who the hell, well, I saw Allen Iverson play at Georgetown, and I knew he was an incredible talent. And he got better throughout his career in the NBA. Yes, he did. He did, he did, he did. I'm admitting it after all these years. He got very much better during his career, especially his career in Philadelphia. But that was kind of, I want to say, the transition, the beginning of the transition of the NBA's image. And David Stern fought with Allen Iverson for so many years, and now I'm asking the question, why? Because Allen Iverson, after MJ retired in 2003, Allen Iverson, until LeBron took it over and Kobe stepped in also, LeBron was the face of the NBA. I mean, excuse me, Allen Iverson was the face of the NBA.
Like that, like
how you
did.
He did.
He changed the culture. He changed how we wear our hair, the tattoos.
He set clothes, that standard. And
but he made it like, I'm going to bring how I am as a man and how I am as a person along with me. He didn't hide anything.
And that's a tribute.
Us that come from, you know, not the best background. We appreciated that.
That's a tribute to the old school also, because they didn't hide who they were.
Right.
Cravante Hurd joining me talking NBA basketball, and I think I'm just going to make this a weekly thing where I have him on to talk NBA and talk NFL. While we're discussing the NBA and the aftermath that was the NBA Finals and the NBA season, for the second time in his career, LeBron got swept in the finals. Ouch.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
How do you explain that after taking his team to a seventh game on the road, and all kinds of credit and kudos to LeBron and the Cavaliers for winning Game 7 on the road and being the first road team in that series to score a road victory? Then you run into the juggernaut that is the defending champion Golden State Warriors.
Okay, so you know, listen, before I say this, you know that I am not one to give LeBron any pass.
Correct.
Any type of pass because of
you know I'm the same way. You know I'm the same way.
Of course, because of how he's operated, you know, his career. Which is great. As a businessman,
yes,
it's phenomenal. But
yes.
Basketball is questionable.
Very questionable. Thank you very much. You and I are on the same wavelength. No pass is given.
Cool. So, I say all this to say, that height that he got after dismantling this team, and getting all these new, young, athletic players.
Yes.
And they started really, really well. Like, it was so much hype, but it died fast.
It really did.
I mean, from February, you know, about the beginning of April, end of March, something like that.
Yeah.
It was like they started showing their true colors. And LeBron had to play so much harder.
Yes.
And so many more minutes that I don't think he had nothing left. I felt like in each of these series, except for
the Toronto series. And it's so awful. You know I'm the biggest. You know I am the biggest skeptic of one LeBron James. But at the same time, I do understand what it's like. I may not play sports, but I run my own company. But I do understand what it's like to have to shoulder the burden and carry the load for your entire team when no one else shows up. Now, this is taking you out of the equation because you're always there, Michael Lyle, my buddy, and whomever else comes onto the show and helps me build the show, and I appreciate y'all. But I understand what it's like. I get it. I really get it. By the time he played Game 7 in Boston and won that, and then he dropped 51 in Game 1 of the Finals, he was completely spent.
He had nothing. And you can point to at least one instance where in each of these series, except for Toronto, that it was like, I don't think he's going to make it. Because the Pacers series, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, like, I didn't think he was gonna lose in the first series, but God dang it, Indiana made him look good. Indiana sure did make him look good.
And of course, Boston.
Mm-hmm. Boston beat them up mentally. Like on the coaching side of the game, they beat them up.
Which leads me to this: who is at fault in Boston for losing Game 7 at the Garden?
I'm not even going to give you an actual person.
Okay.
I'm going to say inexperience.
I'll give that to you.
That would be Boston, because Game 7 at home, you got to play better. You have to play better than that. Like, they shot terribly.
They did.
From the field. Like, it was...
You don't shoot 35%. You don't shoot 35% from the floor in a Game 7 and expect to win. And here's a comparison I made, and you heard this on the show, and to those who are listening, thank you very much. Y'all heard me say this on the show, that it could come down to a repeat performance from 82 when Boston hosted Philadelphia in Game 7, and Philadelphia shot lights out throughout the game. It took a second-half surge for LeBron and the Cavaliers to swipe Game 7, because remember, Boston led that game by 13 in the first half. So it took a second-half surge. But it was eerily familiar to that Game 7 in 1982 when a fellow named Andrew Toney became known as the Boston Strangler. LeBron is this version of the Boston Strangler because he willed his team in the second half.
Sure did, but it felt weird. It felt like I was coming because Boston never took command. Like, even when they were up by double digits, I felt like they weren't really in control as much
right.
as they could have been.
Right.
Like, I was like, this is the setup for LeBron James to come all the way back.
Yes, it is.
And sure enough, it did. And their inexperience showed. They took a lot of ill-advised shots. They got a little lax on defense. It was a perfect storm for LeBron.
So what does Boston take from this into next season?
Oh, they're going to take, first of all, this is some really good experience under their belt. Playing LeBron in Game 7 and, you know, nearly taking them out.
No one expected them to get this far.
No, especially without Kyrie, you know. So I think once they come back, and has Kyrie, a fully healthy Kyrie, I'm not sure what's going to happen going to Hayward. I'm hearing he's trade bait. Not sure. But this team is going to be, I think this team is going to be the best team in the East, especially if LeBron leaves.
So does Kyrie stay, or do some of the rumors prove true? Does Kyrie stick around?
I think Kyrie should. I mean, Kyrie has been one to, you know, have a little emotion.
Ain't that the truth?
As a part of which, how he moves, which is not the best quality to have.
No.
But I think he should stay. I think that's the best situation, because especially when LeBron's talking about, he put it down to Cleveland or L.A. But if he go to L.A., Boston's the best team in the East, without no question.
So here's a question for you, and I know many people have posed you to this, but none of those people is me, number one. And number two, none of those people will actually throw this question at you with some meaning behind it. And you know what I'm talking about when it comes to that.
Sure.
Where does Chris Paul come into play?
Wow. you know what? I think Chris Paul is staying put.
Really?
I think he's going to stay in Houston. And I only say that because Chris Paul is between Houston or wherever LeBron James goes. Now, if LeBron stays at Cleveland, why would Chris Paul go anywhere else? It's Houston or wherever LeBron James goes.
Truth.
If LeBron goes to L.A.,
truth.
Listen, for whatever reason, they don't like Chris Paul in L.A., at least not for the Showtime Lakers. I don't know what it is. I know back in the day when David Stern stopped that trade.
You know that put a black eye on the NBA when he vetoed that trade of Chris Paul to the Lakers.
That was crazy. I was like, wow, I didn't know he had the power to do that. I ain't gonna lie to you. I was like, what? I didn't think he could do that.
I didn't think he could either. But you know, and I insert this funny point, and I remember him appearing on the show and saying how many, you know, you ruffled some feathers when Ice Cube gets in the conversation, the big Laker fan that he is.
Right. You got somebody that's in a whole different realm.
Right.
Stepping into here like, oh, no, that's not right.
And it was dirty of David Stern to do that. Ice Cube had the correct word. It was dirty.
That's exactly what it was. But Chris Paul, I don't think he's going to be able to go anywhere because he recruited so hard, which leads me to believe he's going to stay. Because otherwise, he would just be out on the market waiting for LeBron. He wouldn't be actually trying to recruit him to Houston.
So who goes? So let's play devil's advocate here. Let's play a little what if. If. And then this is a strong if. If LeBron comes to H-Town,
oh boy,
who goes?
Because
I got two answers off the bat right now.
I tell you, if LeBron James goes, Trevor Ariza is gone.
That's my first answer.
And, let's see, probably Clint Capella, man.
I don't think so. I think the other fellow who would be gone would be Eric Gordon.
Okay. That's fair.
Because you're talking about, just got a thumbs up from one of the folks here at Panera as we have Snowman in the Morning going here on this Tuesday, second half coming up in just a bit. You think about how Houston wants to build their team. Think of how Houston lost to Golden State in the second half of Game 7. Golden State was able to get inside even though Houston had the rebounders and the inside protection. Think of how Golden State operates. Because now, you know, not only is Houston going to have it for the Warriors, Cleveland's going to have it for the Warriors. You know New Orleans is, and they're going to have the best inside tandem in the business.
Right.
Especially in the West. So you keep Capella and you get rid of Gordon. Here's the flip side of that coin.
Ariza may go anyway, and guess where he may go? Ariza may wind up in Oakland.
And that's why I said Ariza. So I'm like, Ariza will have a destination.
Oh, Steve Kerr will welcome him with open arms.
Everyone will. Absolutely.
Everyone will welcome Trevor Ariza with open arms, and with the selection that the Warriors did of Jacob Evans, who may be another Warrior draft steal, i.e. Quinn Cook, i.e. Jordan Bell.
Yep.
They're setting. Let's go to Oakland for a minute. They're setting their team up, not just for the next 2 to 3 seasons, but for the next 5 to 6 with the selections they're making.
Yeah, the guys are top know they're doing.
Let's go.
The guys are top doing.
Going back to 2010, and this is when the Spurs were sitting on top. Them in Miami. They were putting the pieces in place for the run that they're on now. And what's scary about this Golden State team, to say they're just getting started would be a horrid understatement.
Get started, keep going, like.
Here's the question, though. With Trevor Ariza, and this rumor is going to pop off the charts. Ariza is going to find his way to Oakland. I feel it. Still, the biggest domino to come down for me ain't LeBron, it's Kawhi Leonard. And that unbelievable ultimate situation we came up with, as strange as it sounds, still may happen.
Yeah.
Now,
crazy, but I mean, we've been crazy before.
Yes.
we really can't be surprised at anything we see. About to be.
So how would Trevor Ariza, and I know a lot of people are going to be shaking their heads with the steam coming out of their ears and going, not again. But how would Trevor Ariza fit into the Warrior combination?
That's another marked man to come off the bench. What more?
But you know what's going to happen with Ariza? If he winds up in the Bay, his defense is going to improve. Just ask Kevin Durant.
I agree. Because, you know, he's already an above average defender.
Yes. But now you get him. You know what it is with the Warriors and this current dynasty? It's just the same with the Lakers of the 80s, the Celtics of the 60s and the 70s, and just like the Bulls of the 90s. What do they all have in common? A defensive mindset, which was absolutely savage. You saw that from the Warriors from Game 6 and 7 in Houston and on through the finals. This defensive mindset of the Warriors is savage, to say the least. Include Trevor Ariza or Kawhi Leonard, or as crazy as I am, both in that equation.
That would be crazy.
But they're going to wind up with one of those two. One of those two will wind up in Oakland. It's more than likely going to be Trevor Ariza. But if anybody heard our ultimate free agent situation of Kawhi Leonard, and I'll replay that later this week, you'll understand why we're saying what we're saying. That's Cravante Hurd of the Flex Zone joining me here on this Tuesday morning. We come to you live from Michigan City, Indiana. Tell the folks where they can find you.
You can find me on my personal pages, Cravante Hurd, Cravante Hurd Twitter, Cravante Hurd Facebook, @Cravante_Hurd on Instagram, and of course at the Flex Zone 1. Give me sports how you want it, when you need it.
Oh man, the Flex Zone will be returning to Arena Sportsnet, folks. Just you watch. Probably this fall, but the Flex Zone will return to Arena Sportsnet's weekly programming. Thanks, Cravante. Appreciate the time.
Of course, man. Thanks for having me on, man. And we'll do it again.
Pause for a break, and we got a couple classic conversations for you. Snowman in the Morning, back in a flash.
Full Armor Worldwide is open to serve you. Our goal is to provide professional service that'll meet clients' high expectations. Every client wants to achieve the services that'll meet their expectations and will satisfy them. People become more frustrated when their expectations and needs are not totally met. Therefore, they'll demand for a higher service or a quality service. A good and quality service will make you distinctive and stand out among your competitors. That's why Full Armor Worldwide stands out compared to other competitors. If there is a service that you need, such as web design, logistics, construction, property management, or more, Full Armor Worldwide is where you need to go. Give us a call today to set up your consultation at 888-386-2040 or drop an email at info@fullarmorworldwide.com. Full Armor Worldwide, innovative for a better tomorrow.
Some energy drinks want to scare you. Some even want to bully you around. And the others, they're just blowing smoke. Packed with vitamins B3, B5, B6, and B12, the new HiQ energy drink comes available in four exciting flavors. Skyberry Fusion, Apple, Coconut Fruit Punch, and Lemon Lime. Natural caffeine, no preservatives, no crash, no bull. HiQ energy drink. Wings are for birds.
What's up, everybody? Snowman here. If there's one thing you know about me or know of me, I love food. Period. Well, I got a place for you. If you love food, you'll try out Ruthie's, the new comfort food caterer and food cart around Madison, Wisconsin, and surrounding areas. They offer a new and exciting choice to eating on the run, bringing homemade food to you, a street corner, or a venue near you, breakfast, dinner, and third shift. Give them a call today at 708-935-5763. That's 708-935-5763. And you know something? Tell them Snowman sent you.
This is Snowman in the Morning, where true sports talk lives.
Next!
Excuse me, bitch!
Are you kidding me?
What?
Ladies and gentlemen, I have been wanting to have this man on for a while. He is finally on with me. I love this brother dearly. He's the host of the Josh Lopez Wrestling Podcast, one of the most popular wrestling shows you will ever hear. And we're just going to dive right into it. Everybody, please welcome Josh Lopez, a.k.a. Notorious Joshy. What's up, my brother?
Excuse me, bitch.
How you doing, man?
What's up, Snowman? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. It's great to have you on, man. Thanks.
No, thanks for inviting me. I've been looking forward to this for a while, too.
Josh and I hung out for his birthday at a place called Bar Louie, and we're going to start there because we got some shit to talk about with that appearance. Me, you, and Frank hung out at Bar Louie for your birthday a year ago. and the waitress we had at Bar Louie, yuck.
I always have one rule to follow by.
And that is?
And that is waterfall is waterfall.
All right, man, let's get serious for a moment here. And right. Josh said I could grill him about anything, and we share a common denominator. As much shit as we talk to each other and about each other, we do it in fun. How disenchanted, my friend, are you with the scope of professional sports right now?
It's up there, Snowman. I'm not going to lie. For those that don't know, I'm from the city of Chicago, and we have three teams that are currently rebuilding. And honestly, from my point of view, I'm not a fan of rebuilding because there is a philosophy out there. If you listen to what your fans cry and moan about on social media, sooner or later you'll be sitting with the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my issue with rebuilds. And, okay, I get it. Sooner or later you don't want to be stuck in mediocrity. But
right.
At the same time, the thing I don't understand, Stillman, and I've said this before on the sports drive, is when, especially when it comes to the Chicago sports team, like everybody's solution to every sports problem
is rebuild.
Oh, let's get a basketball deal. Let's get a football deal. Well, even though I'm a White Sox fan, there's only one Theo Epstein. So when you can find those other guys, then I'll take your opinion seriously.
Exactly. Exactly. I love it. I love it. I am from Chicago. I am a Southsider born and bred, but I hate the rebuilding mode because it seems like everybody gets stuck in it, especially the Chicago teams, which leads me to this. You know how you spoke about how the Chicago fans are, or the check that. The Chicago media acting like they know everything, which is why Arena Sportsnet's going to blow all their asses away with our sports coverage here in the next couple of years. I said that on the sports drive, and people called and people checked in with me and thought I was nuts for making that statement. And I made it 2 years ago when I was living in LaPorte. I mean every single word of that.
Nobody else is going to believe it besides you. At the end of the day,
that's it. Why is Chicago media so fucking fickle right now, man? What's up with that?
I don't get it. Is it something where Twitter, where I could come up with something stupid so I can get a lot of hits? It's like, it's either that or they don't have the creative skills to actually come up with a show. So they'll steal a copy from somebody else's show and they'll make a Twitter poll out of it, like Waddle and Sylvie, and they'll go from there. It's just annoying and frustrating, to be honest with you, as a broadcaster, because honestly, for me, I can't take what these guys say seriously because I don't think that's their genuine opinion. Like, you hear the same thing on every single sports talk show.
Mm-hmm.
Does Tom Waddle really have an axe to grind with Mitch Trubisky because Jimmy Garoppolo's not a Bear? I don't believe that.
I don't believe that either.
I don't. Does David Kaplan have an axe to grind with John Fox because, he's not my guy, he's not transparent? Dude.
Bullshit.
Dude, Joe Madden is transferring, and guess what? The Cubs got embarrassed in the playoffs this year. Are you going to put Joe Madden on a hot seat? No. So there's a lot of hypocrisy right now. And don't get wrong, I respect those guys for how long they've been doing this, but I think it's a time for some new voices to be spread throughout this airways in the city, because it's the same shit over and over again. You hear the same stuff. You'll hear Cap rant and rave. You'll hear Carmen DeFalco with his monotone Italian voice for 2 hours while you're still trying to come up with a show before he falls asleep.
Yep.
And then you got Waddle and Sylvie, and the only realistic voice you hear on that damn station is Jonathan Hood.
Thank you.
That's it.
And Hood calls it like he sees it. Period.
Period.
Jay Hood calls it like he sees it. We both had a chance to meet him. Very good mutual friend of ours. And I mean, he's always offering encouragement to both you and I. You went to the Illinois School for Broadcasting. You and I met in 2011 at Starbucks, no less, with a couple of other people. And we've been close since. I had the pleasure of having him on the mic with me when we were covering the Noble Street Basketball Championships at, we call them the Exelon Files. Here's where I'm gonna
close.
I got to tell you all a funny story. When I came in one day, Josh got to Exelon Gym. Anyone familiar with the north side of Chicago knows where Exelon Gym is. He got there a little bit before me. He got my attention. And he showed me this mascot that looked like it was supposed to be a puma, but it looked nothing like a puma.
Yeah, it looked like a background figure you see at a Chuck E. Cheese restaurant.
Oh, my goodness. I looked at that, and I walked out.
Yeah, you're mad.
Because I'm thinking, what the hell is that? That does not look like that does not look like a damn puma. And then the moms that were there, and we mean this in love, folks. The moms that were there kept messing with us.
Everything's a foul.
And we heard it even through our headsets. It was loud in that joint. It was loud.
Yes, it was.
Oh, man. All right. You know, you and I have been friends 6 years. I've been around when you were putting in your applications, still putting in applications to work at radio stations. And this is what pisses me off about them, because I've been down this road. They bring you in. They treat you like you're royalty. They show you the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
You think they're going to hire you. You think you have the qualifications to do so. And then you don't hear back from them. That's a little shitty, in my opinion.
Right. That's the current struggle I'm dealing with right now, and I know a lot of young broadcasters like me deal with this, so I'm not putting myself in one box. And
right.
I'm a very humble guy. You know that, Snowman, better than anybody.
Yes.
I've been able to do a lot of cool stuff at a young age. I've got to cover a WrestleMania invited by the WWE at the age of 20. I've got to cover other events around the city, Chicago. I was able to have a 3-hour radio show at
yes.
my little broadcast
yes.
station.
Yes, and it was a wonderful. Show.
Not only a 3-hour show, a 3-hour wrestling show.
Yes.
Think about that at a sports station.
Yes. Was it tough for you to leave? When you brought it into that show, was it tough for you to leave?
Well, you got to understand, though, man, I did that show from July 2013 to WrestleMania 32, which was in 2016.
Yes.
So I did it for almost 3 years at that station. I did it every single week. I didn't make any excuses. I'm a person that rarely gets sick because I'm a waterholic. I'm not an alcoholic. And I like to stay away from people so
yeah.
I don't get sick. That's kind of my secret, but... I did that show for a long time, man. I we'll talk about that later on during the scene. But like going back to the applications, like I've had the opportunity to do multiple interviews with the Score. ESPN 1000 has invited me a couple times to go to their place as well on State Street. And like they tell you, right? Like if you get called back for a second interview, it's like, oh, you must be doing something right, or they have some type of interest. I go there, I talk, not only I talk to one person, because that's usually the only interview you do at an application,
right,
right Summit?
Right.
But the last one I did this past December, not only did I talk to Randy Birkin, who's the Associate Program Director there, but I also talked to Adam Delavitt the same day,
mm-hmm.
the Program Director. So I had two interviews that same day with the same station.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for different positions. It was the same position I was going for. My skills right now is a board operator. I'm good at producing. I know how to make these music beds. I know how to adjust the mic and all that fun stuff. Like, I felt like I had the perfect opportunity. I expressed my passion for Chicago sports. I talk about my work ethic and how I'm kind of different than your common millennial out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I had a good feeling in my heart. I could trust my instincts when I know something's going to happen. And, you know, when I sent out the application to get a media credential for WWE, they didn't have to accept me.
Right.
I was barely graduating from the broadcasting school with no other experience. They didn't have to bring me out there, but they did.
Yep.
And I appreciated that, but ESPN 1000, they brought me two interviews I did was in December, and then I had to wait through the winter during the Christmas holiday, and then I had to wait after the Super Bowl, and you know I get a notification on my Gmail account in May. Oh, we found something new. We'll send you another link for another application if one comes out. And I'm like, the fuck? You know, maybe it's just me. Maybe the confidence I have in myself is not an it doesn't come from a cocky or arrogant standpoint, but
right.
I trust what I do with my work, and I know how good I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why I'm not in the position right where I am. And I told Adam this in this interview that I want to learn. You know, if I'm not producing the main shows right away, I'm fine with that. If I'm doing overtime and I'm just producing hoodie jokes, cool.
Yes.
Honestly, I would prefer that. I'd rather produce hoodie show and make it the best show on the station.
Exactly.
You know, it already is.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Is this something I'm doing wrong, Snowman?
No, it's nothing you're doing wrong. It's something they're doing wrong, and that's not giving you a shot. You know, I made you a promise 3 years ago, and I plan to keep it once the Chicago studio gets built. And what I told Josh was, when the Chicago studio for Arena Sportsnet gets built, you're coming in and you're pressing some buttons. I made that promise, and I intend to keep it. Let me shout out also Connor Klingon, who's going to voice the St. Joseph Chargers for basketball this coming season. Give you more on that details on that before we get out of here. 21 after the hour, Josh Lopez, a.k.a. Notorious Joshy, joining the Snowman here for our second hour, talking sports and life. You know something? I was warned to not put a name out there for fear of facing a slander lawsuit. I don't give a shit because they got nothing to stand on. So I'm going to go completely there. You and I share a common enemy. And that sumbitch has been bugging both of us. And frankly, I'm beyond a little tired.
I know what it is.
Mr. Delbert Yates Jr., ring a bell?
Yes, it is.
What has he said to you? Because people think just because, you know, I do take my legal battles into consideration, but I got
but I got
truth on my side. And right now, to borrow a famous phrase, and Josh, you heard me utter this on Sports Drive, frankly, my dear, I don't give a fuck. I really don't care. He needs to be exposed so people will know what we're dealing with.
True.
Now what?
I got a couple messages from him. Not recently. This was like a couple years ago or something like that. And I've been open on my shows like Sports Drive and et cetera about the issues I had to deal with growing up. For those that don't know, I was deaf at birth for the first 2 years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I had tubes shoved down my ears, and I couldn't hear for anything for the first 2 years of my life. And it's not something that I gloat about or I'm happy about, but it's something I've overcome, and I think I've mellowed out. You know, for having that disability, but I think I made the best out of it, you know?
You did.
You know, it's crazy. I couldn't hear it for the first 2 years of my life, and then I get accepted to a top music school in the country
mm-hmm.
where you have to use your ears and you have to have good hearing
exactly.
in order to play music. So, I got a message for this show. It's like, first of all, you're dull, you're boring, you don't have anything interesting to say, and nobody wants to have an autistic deaf person on Sports Talk Radio. That
really?
Was the first message I got for him. And, you know, he wants to throw pot shots of whether he thinks I'm fat or not. And I can look at myself right now, and I've been going to the gym for the last 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that I'm like Usain Bolt or Michael Phelps or anything like that, but I sure as hell not fat. I'll make this simple because this is more fun stuff that we should talk about more than this schmuck because he doesn't deserve any platform.
Yeah.
So I'm going to break this as simple as possible, and he can get offended by this if he wants. I don't give a fuck either, to be honest with you. It goes simply like this, ladies and gentlemen. Del Yates is a clinger. That's it. He clings on to everything that gives him any self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
For example, he's so desperate to stay around the local media scene that he hops on Chet Copic's you-know-what to string him along. And it's been going on for years. Mm-hmm. And where Chet goes, there goes Del. Any project that Chet comes out, oh, hey, can you promote Chet's new book? Hey, can you do this yet? No. You and Chet Copic are what's wrong with media. And I don't care how long Chet Copic has been doing media for years. I don't. If I don't respect you, it's for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, Vince Russo was a writer for wrestling when I was 4 years old, and he's been doing it for 20 years.
Yes.
I don't respect him. I don't, because he's a schmuck, and he throws Christianity in my face.
All the time.
Or give me a break. This almighty Christian goes on Twitter and bashes the WWE every single week and bashes people that work inside the company because, he had a bad run of it in 1998. And then he wants everybody to feel sorry for him, and then he goes on his podcast and trashes the company every week.
Yep.
And he's like, shut up already. And then he goes to Del Yates. The fact that this guy is so depressed and clinging on to anybody who gives a shit about him needs to go after you to feel better about himself.
And he's done that.
I'm tired of it.
He's done that to me for seven years.
I'm tired of seeing him going after you. I'm tired of hearing you bring him up in our chat room.
Yeah.
Like, the guy just needs to go away.
I agree. I agree. This will be the last time either of us talk about him. All right. Let's get back to some real. Let's get back to some real stuff. How disenchanted are you with the NBA right now?
Besides the Chicago Bulls, I can give a flying you know what about the NBA.
Attaboy.
And the only reason why I watch Bulls games is because I'm a big Stacey King fan, and he always finds a way to crack me up. And I'll admit, I actually like the pre- and post-game shows for the Bulls they have on NBC Sports Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I watch a lot of their pre- and post-game shows.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously, here's another team in the rebuild, right? And I think these Bulls have to rebuild. But, hey, that's my opinion. I got to deal with the cards that were dealt here, and we have Doug Collins now as a senior VP in the front office now. Everybody in the city wants to get rid of Garrett Pax, but they forget that Garrett Pax is the reason why Ben Gordon and Kirk Heinrich and et cetera, came to the Bulls.
Yep.
So, and they're also the guys that hired Tom Thibodeau, too. Let's not forget that.
Right.
It wasn't like, Tom Thibodeau came to us. No, they got him.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this rebuild now, and I like what I see so far for Chris Dunn.
Right.
I know that a lot of guys in the city were trashing because, the almighty Tom Thibodeau, who's the greatest coach of all time. Give me a break. So Chris Dunn was sitting on the bench a lot last year. Not surprised because he's a Tom Thibodeau rookie. He didn't get on TV last year. And you see what he does on the court and how great of a defender he is.
Oh, yeah.
I see he can work out of the turnovers, but he's a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I like his mid-range game. And what I appreciate about Chris Dunn, he does a lot of things that a lot of today's NBA players don't do. Mid-range.
Yes. The mid-range game.
How about a novel concept of mid-range game?
Mm-hmm. How about a mid-range game? Exactly.
I like marketing. Who doesn't like marketing?
I love that kid.
He's in a little bit of slump, right? He's in a slump, but you got to think about this, though, man. Not only was he in the NCAA tournament with Arizona, but after that, he was in the Eurobasket tournament with Finland after that during the summer. This dude hasn't had a break since, I don't know, last year.
Yeah, since last November.
So
when the Arizona season
and he's
started.
Only 20.
Mm-hmm.
And he's only 20. So I'm not worried about marketing. Zach LaVine's coming back soon.
Yep.
I know a lot of people are excited for him. I am too.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that he held a good 3-point shot during last season before he tore his ACL.
Yeah.
Now, I'm interested to see what he's going to do. And there's other guys on the roster I like. I like David DeWamba. I like Justin Holiday. Hell, Denzel Valentine came out of nowhere this year. And everybody's like, oh, he's a bust. And obviously that's not the case. But, you know, I'm not a fan of rebuilds. And sooner or later I have to accept the fact that Robin Lopez is going to be traded. But Robin Lopez is one of the best big men in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks.
Now I'm going to bring up a subject that makes us both sore when it comes to the NBA. I've uttered this statement on my show. You've heard me say it on my show. You were my engineer. You were my engineer once upon a time when the show was in its infancy, and I'd love to have you as my engineer again, and my producer. I'm just kind of putting it out there. I'd love to have you as part of my production team that I'm putting together. Why in the Vita Blue, yellow belly, red blooded hell is the NBA still hyping up a player that has not improved in 15 seasons? And you know who I'm talking about.
I'm still trying to figure out why it took 15 years to inject this schmuck. Like, it takes 15 years for this guy, of all people, to get ejected from a court because he whined about a foul. Hey, how about eject him when he threw the wall ding down the court during the playoffs?
Absolutely.
How bad? But no.
Mm-mm.
LeBron's a class individual. LeBron doesn't do anything wrong, right, Snowman?
That's some bullshit. Wait a minute. I got to use our key phrase.
No.
That's some grade-A homogenized Holstein bullshit, and you know it.
Damn right. Yeah, grade-A homogenized Holstein shitlin' bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
So they continue to hype
him on the arena.
They continue to hype this guy up that he's the greatest thing since Michael Jordan, and he's not.
Yeah, sure. It's not even at Kobe Bryant's level.
I mean, he had to leave to win two championships elsewhere. Then he comes back, gets a rigged championship for Cleveland, and you goddamn right I said it's rigged. It will always be rigged. It will always be rigged to me, because how the hell can you tell me that the Golden State Warriors choked a 3-1 lead after LeBron James opened his mouth and dry snitch on Draymond Green? Now, I know you don't have the best admiration for Draymond Green, but you got to admit, in the 2016 finals, before he got suspended, Draymond Green was locking LeBron James up, so he couldn't do anything.
Well, think about where all this started. It started Game 4, Eastern Conference semifinals at the freaking United Center, where the Bulls are supposed to go up 3-1 to finish this stupid series.
Yep.
But no, we have to have this random timeout when Cleveland had no more timeouts to allow him to win the game at the buzzer.
And they didn't give a technical foul when they should have. The referees were looking right at them.
Yeah, David Bell was like a quarter into the court.
They didn't tee him or Tyronn Lue up because they were both on the floor. They didn't tee either of them up.
Yes.
It shouldn't have even got to Cleveland going to the East Finals that year. They should have lost in the semifinals because the Bulls were busy tearing their asses up. But no. The NBA doesn't want to see the Bulls rise to the top again. Just like they're hating the fact that teams that actually play like teams, Golden State, Chicago, San Antonio, hello, they don't want to see them rise to the top again. They want to see LeBron fucking James be at the top because their popularity is sinking right now. And when Golden State tore their asses up in the finals last year, you know I was sitting back laughing my ass off seeing that happen.
And, you know, obviously, like, the league's so desperate for attention now that they're actually finally bringing the All-Star game back to Chicago in 2020.
That should have happened a long time ago.
Period.
That should have happened a long time ago.
88?
Yeah, 88 was the time that 88 was the last time Chicago hosted the All-Star game, and Michael Jordan was there, and I don't need to explain anything else that happened that weekend.
Yep, one of the greatest All-Star weekends ever. Maybe the greatest, at least for the slam dunk contest.
It was for me. It was for me. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to have a little fun here. Anybody who knows me or knows of me knows the reason I got into doing play-by-play was a fellow by the name of Jim Durham. He was a former voice of the Bulls for many years. I've been complimented so many times on my style, but, you know, I've had people recently, and Josh, you're going to get a kick out of this, tell me I should pattern my announce game after someone else who was not a big influence on me. That's bullshit.
At least it's not Neil Funk, where every other shot is widowed to him.
You know what, Neil
little
Funk is not
little trainer.
Listen, Neil Funk is wonderful. I had the pleasure of meeting him a few years ago. Him and Will Perdue, who was on duty for the pregame show. I met Neil at the United Center, had a chance to shake his hand, and I repeated something to him that I heard him say in 96 when I listened to a Bulls-Lakers game, and I did an impression of him. I had him cracking up laughing when I said, now the Lakers will inbound. And they're going to be shaking their head saying, what the hell happened? He starts cracking up when I said that.
Hey, you know one of my favorite lines from Stacey King?
What's that?
Let me get some butter on that roll.
Can I get some butter with that roll?
or
in a low tone. Wait a minute. In a low tone, you just hear, I think it was after Derrick Rose crossed up John Wall in a game against the Wizards at the UC, and all you hear is Stacey King in a low tone, and I love Stacey, saying, oh, my goodness, can I get some butter with that roll? I'm going to try to cue up. Little Stacey King in the background right now, folks.
Derrick Rose can go upstairs.
As a matter of fact,
I think maybe you'll agree with me, Snowman, but I don't know. Maybe it's because I have an inner urban heart in me. I have some soul inside of me.
What you do?
That type of like humor like cracks me up.
It cracks me up. Look. People who listen to this show, and there have been many, and I thank y'all for doing so, know this sound.
Did you not get the memo?
Oh, man.
And anybody who listens to the show, and Josh is a regular listener, and I'm praying he becomes a regular guest, they also know this, because this helps open up the show.
I can't do it. Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
I did the sports drive with Josh, Justin, and Sean and Frank for a couple of years, and I have all these sounds on my computer. I think it wouldn't be a show with Josh and I on it if I didn't play this.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Lovely. Oh, man.
And
you know, one of the big staples of the sports drive was some impressions that I came up with over the years.
The impression, I had been away for a couple of weeks because I was doing baseball. But when I came back, the impression you did of Barack Obama had me on the floor dying, especially when you did it during the bash hour.
Yeah, the Barack was got a lot of praise, but also recently the Donald Trump one that
yes.
I had has been
yes.
parting some eyebrows. I'll do this for you guys. Hopefully this comes through. Hopefully you hear me well, Sylvan.
Do it.
I want to make sure
do
I don't
it.
Stop. All right, here we go. Alright, here we go. We have the number one fans out there. You need to be the number one network. It is tremendous. We got the best infrastructure, the best website, the best fans. Believe me. Believe me. I'm going to build a wall between Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and everything else in the United States.
I have to record that. I have to record that impression without me laughing in the back. Oh, here you go. Speaking of sounds, when we talk in the chat room, there's actually some sane chat in our chat room, folks, between Josh and I. The shit that Sean used to say to try to rile us up.
Oh, God.
My only response,
yeah.
One of my responses, you know very well.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Uh-huh. I agree with that sister right there.
Because I understand.
You know, the fun thing about with Sean Snowman was that, like, for me, maybe this is just my upbringing, and like I said earlier, I have an urban soul inside of me. I know how to respond accordingly to those that like to pick arguments and stuff,
mm-hmm.
like with Justin. I'm not afraid to respond back. So whether it's with a GIF or something,
yes.
I know what to respond back with. And especially when it came to Walmart Boy, I could just drop one Grinch.
One Grinch, and he's off. Listen, Justin would try to rile me up, too. Saying stupid shit like Ben Simmons is going to be the rookie of the year, which he's not, because Kyle Kuzma is going to be, or Dennis Smith Jr. Ben Simmons is a bust as far as I'm concerned. Oh, yeah. And he'll say something like, oh, yeah, Ben Simmons, rookie of the year. Child, please.
Don't. And not only that, he'll send you bar graphs and freaking pipe, no, my bad, pipe graphs and bar charts of how great LeBron James is.
You know what? I hit him with this one day when we were on the show.
Damn, damn, damn!
Listen, Ben Simmons is a bust. He will not be rookie of the year because Kyle Kuzma is going to run away with it, he or Dennis Smith Jr. And then all the pie graphs that you spoke about how great LeBron James is. Do you know how soft of an era LeBron James is playing in right now? Soft!
Yeah.
As I often say, the era the NBA is in right now, and I've said this even with my regular analysis of the NBA. Y'all heard me say this. The NBA right now is in an era that's softer than my daughter's pillow. Period.
Or the pillow that I'm laying on right now.
There you go. If you think Ben Simmons is going to be rookie of the year, I have a response.
No.
Hell no.
Or this.
Holy smokes, you'll need booze.
I want to get that commercial of Michael Jordan saying, stop it, go get some help.
You know what? I have to find that now. I have to find that. I got to find that now and put it in the. I got to find it and put it in the Matrix. You know something? All this shit that people talk about how great LeBron James is, Michael Jordan sitting back in the cut with his 6 titles, saying the following:
I'm the juggernaut, bitch.
Before we move on, this is the last thing I want to talk about with the NBA because honestly, I'm kind of getting tired of the topic from a Chicago's perspective.
Yes.
No, I do not want Jordan Bell. I don't care about his blocks and his
mm-hmm.
dunks.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, freaking Felicio can make those dunks.
Exactly.
Now, I don't know about the blocking or whatever, but this whole narrative about Jordan Bell being the steal of the draft needs to freaking stop.
Right.
Dude, how many injuries are the Warriors dealing with right now and he can barely get on the court without scoring more than 2 or 4 points?
Right.
Give me a break.
Right. And you're right. You're dead on right. You're dead on right about that, man. I mean, truth be spoken, that's what we do here on the show. That's what we do here on the network. And thanks to 3 and Out Radio for syndicating our show as well as Radio AFS. This has been a fantastic show today. Got about 15 minutes left. Here's something serious, and you were there with me. You've been there with me the past 5 years. I've opened up recently about my fight with depression and the events mm-hmm. that have led up to it. Two significant events, when my father passed away and when my daughter passed away. Why do you think in society that when men, and specifically men, open up about what they're going through, they get laughed at by the rest of society? Why do you think that is?
Because men don't have the balls to actually own up to their mistakes and embrace their flaws.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. I use my social media platforms to help people through my challenges and things I deal with.
Right.
A lot of times, if I'm on Instagram or Snapchat or something, I'm not going to go on there to just post stupid selfies like that.
Right.
I'm not that arrogant of a person. Nobody wants to see me anyway. So, I'm going to use this platform for a reason and help people out. I've dealt with depression a lot.
Mm-hmm.
My parents got divorced. I've been cheated on 3 times before. I'm not afraid to admit that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's something where you should feel bad about yourself that happened to you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, everyone wants to go with the whole machismo mentality of, oh, men are tough and we don't talk about that stuff. But yeah.
It's bullshit. It's absolute bullshit.
It's bullshit, and the guys get led on all the time,
mm-hmm.
and they put it to a box, and you hear it all the time. Anytime you try to start a new relationship, oh, my God, all guys are the same.
You heard that, too?
I found this quote on Instagram. You're going to love this. So it says, I hate the girl that says all guys are the same. Well, who the fuck told you to try them all?
Much truth to that statement. Much truth to that statement. Oh my God, that is great.
You know me, Snowman. I'm a chill guy.
Yep.
I know what I'm doing.
Yep.
But I don't deal with these girls and their insecure mentalities and, oh, you're going to, oh, my ex said the same thing you did. No, I didn't. I don't know that fucking schmuck. The moron that decided to cheat on you is that a moron. That's something I'm not.
I got the same thing from Jody 2 years ago. When she kept saying, you're just like everybody else. No, because I actually stuck around with your sick ass. Because I actually put up with your shit.
I'm not like anybody else because I actually have some morals and ethics. Thank you.
And when I was going through all that with Jody, you guys were there for me, and I thank you for that. But I'll tell you what, folks, Josh pulled me aside in private on Facebook, and I'm like, man, what the fuck's going on? So I spilled my guts. You know, and she's one of the people, if you don't take down your blog, I'm going to hit you with a slander lawsuit. Really, bitch? You don't have the balls to come after me. You don't have the nuts to say something to me. And you got nothing to stand on. I actually have proof of things that you did to me. So bring it. Just plain bring it. I'm sick and tired of men being put in boxes. Okay? I'm sick and tired of men being treated the way that they're treated. I was talking with Sarah about this, and I asked her the same question. I said, why is it that when men go through something, they're not allowed to talk about it? And she basically echoed your answer. Well, she echoed two answers. One of them was yours, that men don't own up to what they do, which is very, very true. But secondly, you said it earlier, Josh, men are put into this box and no one wants to let them out.
Yeah, just because I'm honest about something, it doesn't make me soft or feminine or weird or anything like that.
Thank you.
I'm just being me. I can handle myself in a fight or anything like that. I can have my manly tendencies. Don't get me wrong, but what I don't understand with modern relationships today, and this was something will help you out, Snowman, going forward. And hopefully people that are listening get something out of this.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't have, and I hate using the word if, but I'm going to use this in this context.
Yes.
Because I think context is important in life, and I don't think we apply it enough to our situation.
Agreed.
We just automatically go with the thing that comes out of our head.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't think about the things that come out of our mouth.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't have a honest communication with your partner, it's not going to work no matter what comes with it.
Exactly.
you can have the best waterfall, the best cucumber out there. If we're not having communication skills and I'm not able to trust you, it's not going to work out.
That's one of the first things Sarah said to me.
There's an issue with transparency.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to relationships.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I got cheated on 3 times. I never cheated on anybody before. I'm not looking for anybody to feel sorry for me. What I learned from those situations is that I got led on and I got used. The first relationships I had was only over me playing the guitar and me learning how to play guitar songs for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the benefits out of that.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, they didn't give me anywhere. The next person that cheated on me ended up getting pregnant 2 weeks later by the dude that she cheated me on. So
figure that one out.
I've realized through my past relationships that, you know, I'm not going to waste my time with people. I'm not. If you're going to be bringing negative energy through my life and you want to be with me, I have no time for you.
I think this sound fits your theory. If you're going, and I said the same thing, Sarah said it to me. You know, that's why she and I are together right now, because we feel the same way about negative bullshit. If you're going to bring negative bullshit to our life and try to bring us down just so you can be with us, response is simple.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're right. Communication has got to take place. Transparent communication. It's got to happen. Sarah and I talk about everything, okay, because she's been through a lot. She's got a 6-year-old. She's got 2 stepchildren that are 19 and about to turn 16. Then she's got Austin, who's 6, and Austin's my little guy because he hangs on to me and to Sarah. I told Austin about Donna, and he wanted to meet her, but I told her that she died, and mm-hmm. he got really sad, and it just lets me know. He would welcome her with open arms just as I welcome him.
Exactly. And, you know, so man, this is another tip I want to give out to people. You know things are not going to work when your partner is like, oh, make sure to call me when you're done with your work or whatever, right? And then you call, and then a dude picks up the phone.
Oh, God.
And call back later.
Paul Allen, if you would.
Think about that.
Paul Allen, if you would, please.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, man. Or Chris Tucker, if you would, please.
God damn!
And when you get rid of that, and when you get rid of that person, all you have to say, look. When I got my apartment in La Porte and finally got Jody off my back, one phrase came to mind.
Ding dong, the witch is dead!
But to with somebody, I'm really, before we close out here, I'm going to really make Josh laugh. Being with somebody that is not there for you, doesn't have your best interest at heart, won't allow you to be yourself and have their best interest in your heart, all I got to say is this.
That is blasphemous.
Oh, no.
That is blasphemous. How dare you say such a thing?
How dare you?
And I got to throw this in too. Anybody who loves old school video games, Josh and I have just been chopping it up for the past hour, and I thank Josh for coming on. We've been jumping back and forth on different subjects. There's no script for this. It's unedited. It's live. I talk about old school video games a lot, especially when I first started the show. Anybody who recognizes, and Josh, don't give it away, anybody who recognizes the game where this sound came from, I got a prize for you.
That sounds like Dell at a first date.
Wait. No. This sounds like Dell on his first date.
Oh, somebody got his head knocked off!
You know, unfortunately, that's me with an interview now.
Say again?
No, I said that's me with the job interview now.
This is going to be you in about a year or two.
I'm the juggernaut, bitch!
Period.
And, of course, no interview with myself and Josh would be complete without me saying, next! Wait. Wait a minute. Dell has a girlfriend?
He did what?
One more. Okay, I'll repeat that. And I'm kidding around when I say this, Justin. Justin has a woman.
He did what?
But you know, we kid around with Justin. We love him. He's one of the band of brothers that we chat with. But when he finds out Ben Simmons won't be Rookie of the Year, his response will be, wait, try it again.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
my girlfriend's mother loves Pepe Le Pew. I need to give her this.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, they don't smoke!
Good God.
Or this.
Hello, baby.
But hey, to all the folks, I know a lot of people right now are saying,
ooh, I'm dying.
Hey, back in the day when someone said something about my dad and it pissed me off, I would say,
you know what? That makes me mad.
And, of course, we only got 2 minutes left, so I'm kind of emptying out the closet here. All right, Josh, here you go.
That's Carmen and Yurko trying to pull out comedy.
With Carmen and Yurko trying to, and I met Yurko. I like talking to him. He was on my show once a few years ago. But any other show in Chicago trying to pull out comedy?
That's terrible.
Yeah.
And
or the game shot, no shot. Damn right, sparkles.
Three more, and these are for Sarah because she's tuning in. You know what you say to somebody, and this is especially true in the 21st century in the dating realm, that like totally gets on your nerves, and they want to do this, and this. All you got to do, and I'm joking as I say this, folks. You got to know that. Look them in the eye and give them this.
Has anybody ever told you you have a serious impulse control problem?
and one more from that movie, which of course was Batman Forever. Mm-hmm. I did this for Sarah on a video chat once, and she has to stop laughing. This is your brain in the box. This is my brain in the box.
Does anybody else feel like a fried egg?
Believe me, that was wonderful.
Josh Lopez joining me for this second hour. It has been absolutely magnificent. Got to do this again. Tell everybody where they can find you, my man.
Everybody, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at NotoriousJoshy. Notorious is in dedication to one of my idols, Christopher Wallace. Up in the good heaven up there.
Yes.
And I have my website that I started back in May called ProWrestlingTranscriptions.com. So basically, if you want to check out my play-by-play articles without being cluttered with ads on other wrestling websites,
right,
the authentic play-by-play articles,
love it.
Check out ProWrestlingTranscriptions.com. And then also, I have my own podcast, the Josh Lopez Wrestling Podcast, which you can find on YouTube, Stitcher, and Apple Podcast.
Oh, man. Always doing great work. I appreciate you coming on, man. You got to come back. We got to do this again.
Snowman, your ratings have became the number one ratings of internet radio. Believe me.
I appreciate it. Thank you, brother. I love you very much. Thanks, man.
I love you, too.
We got to go. I'll talk to you all tomorrow. Have a great day. God bless. Remember to make your next move your best move. And always remember, if your dreams don't scare you, they are not big enough. Snowman out. I'll see y'all tomorrow.